If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
1 Timothy chapter 4, we'll begin reading with verse number 12. Paul writes and says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers." May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word this morning. The title of my message is Moving Forward. Moving forward. How many know it's important that we move forward in life? God is a God of movement. God is a God of forward movement. And sometimes we just have a hard time moving forward, don't we? Can we admit that? It's just us here. Sometimes we get stuck. You ever feel stuck? Well, the Word of God here tells us how to move forward in life. Paul is writing to his son in the faith, Timothy. Timothy was a pastor. And Paul is writing to him as the apostle to encourage him and to instruct him how to move forward in his life and his ministry. And so this morning, you know, we talked a couple weeks ago, last Sunday we met on this being our time, how that we need to seize the moment for God. And so I want to expand on that today by talking about how we move forward as the new year. It's still a new year, isn't it? Just half month through the first month of the year. It's still a new year, and so I thought it would be appropriate to consider how we can move forward in 2019. And the question I want to answer in the next few minutes is, what steps must you take to move forward as you pursue God's purpose for your life? Steps to take to move forward as you pursue God's purpose for your life. The first one is this: hurdle your obstacles. The first thing to do to move forward, to get unstuck, if you will, is to hurdle your obstacles. Paul says to Timothy, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. What was Timothy's obstacle as a pastor? It's that he was a young man. He was a young man. I'll never forget the pastor I served with. Before we planted this church in 1992, I started there. It was actually my second place of ministry. I'd been in a place of ministry for a short time. Started at this church body when I was 23 years old. I was a youth pastor and then associate. I remember the pastor sharing with me, he said, you know, there'll be a number of people who will never really, he didn't say won't take you seriously, I started to say that, but he said, we'll never really kind of place their faith in you and see you as a pastor figure until you reach the age of 30. And he meant that there was nothing malicious in that. It's just being a young man in ministry, even though you've had the training and have the calling, there's something about experience that people look to someone who is experienced for their counsel and to place their faith in. And I found that to be true. While I had a great experience there as a young staff pastor, I could see the truth of that counsel. I'll never forget, there was a business meeting one year, and I don't remember the item that came up, but one lady in the church, precious lady, lovely lady, she stood up and she was making a point, and she said something about the senior pastor, and then she mentioned the junior pastor. Well, that was me, you know. And my young ego really took a little bit of a hit, you know, here, and I was the junior pastor, you know. But I pretty much was. Well, Timothy was a young man. And Paul was cognizant of the fact that some people may not have placed all of their faith in this young man. So he said, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Easy to say, Paul, but how do I do that? Well, he told him this. He told him to overcome this obstacle, first of all, by his lifestyle. He said, set an example for the believers, first of all, in your speech and what you say. How many know what we say is critically important in life? In terms of how we relate to other people, in terms of our mindset and our focus, our speech pattern is very, very important. So Paul said, set an example in that area. And he said, and also set an example in your conduct and how you conduct yourselves. And he was saying to his young son in the faith, his young pastor, if you, even though you're young, and people kind of tend to have reservations about someone so young in such a position, he says, if you set an example in your speech and in how you conduct yourself, people will come to have respect for you, and they will see you not just as a young pastor, but they will see you as a man of God. Mm-hmm. And then he said, set an example in your inner qualities, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. He said, if you set an example, if you are not just conducting yourself properly on the outside, but if you are growing in your relationship with God, growing in your faith, if you are living a life of purity, if you are walking close to God, if you are living a life of love, if you are doing your best to serve God, people will see that and they will recognize that you're a man of God and put their faith in you. That was Timothy's obstacle. But how many know we all have obstacles in life? We all have challenges in life. And your obstacle, your challenge, will more than likely be different from mine. Your set of hurdles will be different from mine. But guess what? We all have in common that we all have challenges. Amen. We all have struggles. Whether it's a physical infirmity, whether it's a relationship issue, whether it's a financial issue, whether it is an emotional issue, whatever it may be, we have obstacles, we have challenges. And you see, one of the great mistakes we can make is looking at and focusing upon our obstacles and our challenges and concluding that that makes it too difficult to move forward. Well, I'd like to be used of God like so and so, but you know, I'm dealing with this. I'm dealing with this struggle, this relationship, this financial issue. I have this physical issue. I have this, and you know, and I'd really like, I hear the pastor preaching about, you know, God's purpose for my life and really moving forward, and I'd like to, but. And what we do is we self-talk ourselves out of moving forward for God. We defeat ourselves. You know, the greatest obstacle to moving forward is often ourselves and our state of mind. And we've all done it. I've done it. Oh, you know, we could do this. I know we can accomplish this. And Harvest Church can be this. And I can do this. But can we do ourselves a favor? Just throw the buts out. Okay? Just throw the qualification, the excuses out. There was a young man named Johnny Fulton who was run over by a car at the age of 3. He suffered crushed hips, broken ribs, a fractured skull, and compound fractures in his legs. It was very questionable whether or not he would live. But he didn't give up. In fact, he later ran the half mile in less than 2 minutes. Pretty impressive, don't you think? Walt Davis was totally paralyzed by polio when he was 9 years old, but he did not give up. He became the Olympic high jump champion in 1952. Shelley Mann was paralyzed by polio when she was 5 years old, but she would not give up. She eventually claimed 8 different swimming records for the United States and won a gold medal at the 1956 Olympics in Melbourne, Australia. In 1938, Carolee Takacs, a member of Hungary's world champion pistol shooting team and sergeant in the army, lost his right hand when a grenade he was holding exploded. But he didn't give up. He learned to shoot left-handed and won gold medals in the 1948 and 52 Olympics. Lou Gehrig was such a clumsy ball player as a boy that the boys in his neighborhood wouldn't let him play on their team. But he was committed. He didn't give up. Eventually, his name was entered into baseball's Hall of Fame as the Iron Horse. Woodrow Wilson could not read until he was 10 years old, but he was a committed person and he became the 28th President of the United States. A young man at the age of 7 had to go to work to help support his family. At 9, his mother died. At 22, he lost his job as a store clerk. At 23, he went into debt and became a partner in a small store. At 26, his partner died, leaving him a huge debt. By age 35, he had been defeated twice when running for a seat in Congress. At age 37, he won the election to Congress, but at 39, he lost his re-election bid. At 41, his 4-year-old son died. At 42, he was rejected for a land officer role. At 45, he ran for the Senate and lost. At 47, he was defeated for the nomination for Vice President of the United States. At 49, he ran for the Senate again and lost. And at age 51, he was elected President of the United States. And many consider Abraham Lincoln our greatest president ever. What do all these people have in common? They didn't let their challenges, their obstacles, prevent them from moving forward. They didn't say, I'd like to do this, but they hurdled their obstacles. What are your obstacles today? What are your challenges? Oh, I know they look so big, don't they, sometimes? They look so insurmountable at times. Oh, Pastor Tim, you don't know, I've tried, but I can't move forward. I've tried. Let me tell you something. As big as your obstacles look, we serve a God who's bigger. I said, as big as your obstacles and your challenges look, we serve a God who's bigger. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. And if these individuals I mentioned could overcome their challenges by the force and the power of their own will, imagine what we can do according to the will of Almighty God. You want to move forward? Don't run away from those obstacles. Don't let them say, if only. I wish I could move forward if only I didn't have this challenge. Do what Paul encouraged Timothy to do and what every man or woman of God throughout the ages has done that has done something for God. Hurdle your challenges. Hurdle your obstacles. Amen, for the glory of God. Second principle, if we want to move forward for God and fulfill His purpose for our life, pursue your calling. Pursue your calling. In verse 13, Paul said to Timothy, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and teaching. In other words, he said to this pastor, devote yourself to your craft. Devote yourself to what you are doing. Can I tell you the uniform teaching of Scripture is that we are, as incredible as it sounds, you and I are called to be partners with Almighty God. Isn't that awesome? The God who spoke everything into existence and we little puny human beings, God enters into a partnership with us. He gives us the power and the energy, but we are called to put in the work. We are called to pursue our calling. Timothy's calling was to be a pastor, teacher. Paul was telling him not to lose sight of his purpose. God has given each of us a purpose, and we must pursue our purpose or our calling. We just talked about this Wednesday night in our Bible study. God has a purpose for your life. God created you for a reason. Regardless of the circumstances of your conception and your birth, none of you is an accident today. Amen? The scripture says that God saw each of us before we were born, that every one of our days was ordained by Him before one of them came to be. I don't know about you, that makes me feel special today. Because of Him. Because my life is important to Him. My life has purpose, and so does yours today. Pursue your calling. Discover your purpose. We talked about this, as I said, in Bible study on Wednesday night. How that each of us has a primary purpose. That's to be a child of God. He loves us, that we are to belong to Him. And each of us has a secondary purpose. That secondary purpose is for you and I to be instruments in His hand, to be used by Him. But then our teacher said we have a personal purpose, a personal calling, and that is a unique way He chooses to use each and every one of us. It looks different for you than it does for me. But God has a personal calling for each of us. There was a young man named William Wilberforce, who was a young man of Parliament. And he got saved. He gave his life to Jesus Christ. And he felt, because of influences that had come his way, that because he was now a believer, that he needed to quit Parliament and he needed to become a pastor. He needed to go into full-time ministry. Can I tell you, every one of us is in full-time ministry? No matter what your profession. And a wise pastor got a hold of William Wilberforce and said to him, "You are called to be a member of Parliament. You are called to be in that body and to effect change and to make a difference in that place. You're not called to be a pastor. Stay there and do what God has called you to do." And William Wilberforce, God laid on his heart to end the slave trade in England. This was the late 1700s. God had placed a burden on his heart. He knew the awfulness of the slave trade, the immorality of it, and God placed it on his heart to end the slave trade in England. And so he labored as a member of Parliament year after year for 50 years. That was his singular cause. And after 50 years, the legislation was passed and the slave trade was ended in England. All because one man knew his calling, knew his purpose, and with a God-given passion, he pursued his calling. And God used him, but it took 50 years. Pursue your calling. Thank God he didn't become a pastor. Thank God he didn't do what his first inclination was to do, but he pursued his calling. God has planted you right where you are, in your place of business, in your neighborhood, in your family, in your life situation. Find your purpose. And the way you start to do that is find your passion. Find your God-given passion. Find your purpose. And do what God has called you to do. And labor at that. And be the very best you can at that. Pursue that. Be the best you can at that. Pursue your calling. Be used. For some people, their calling is giving. And they give passionately and support ministries. For others, it's serving in different capacities, using their skills. Some, it's education. For some, it's evangelism. For some, it can be a variety of things. It can be counseling and wisdom and building relationships. Whatever it is, find your calling. Pursue your calling. That's how you move forward. Many times, we don't move forward because we have no place to go. God has given each of us a place to go, a passion and a calling to pursue. Pursue your calling. What's the third step in moving forward for God? It's develop your gifts. Look at verse 14. "Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you." Develop your gifts. God will never call us to do something that He has not given us the gifts to do. God will never call us to do something that He has not given us the gifts to do. If God calls you to be a teacher, then He's given you the gifts to do that. If God's called you to be a businessman or businesswoman, then God has given you the gifts to do that and to do it successfully. If God has called you to be a missionary or an evangelist or a pastor, if God has called you to be a counselor or someone in social ministry who lifts the burdens of others, God has given you the gifts to do that. Dennis Hatfield, a consultant with the Gallup organization, said this: every person has a talent. The secret is discovering what it is and learning the best way to put it into action. He said, God shapes us with the talent He would have us to have as He sends us into the world. We lack nothing for the purpose to which Christ has called us. He encourages listeners to stop focusing on our weaknesses and start building on their strengths. He said, society pressures us to improve our areas of weakness, but that is a waste of time. Instead, He encourages people to manage their weaknesses by letting someone else do the things they are not good at. If your talent doesn't match the situation, it doesn't mean you are inferior. It means, He said, you are in the wrong place. Now, there can be some value, I suppose, in working on areas where you're weak. But for the most part, I agree with Hatfield. We need to spend our time developing ourselves in the areas where we're strong, in the areas where we are gifted. The Apostle Paul recognized that the Lord gives every person a unique place in this world and unique gifts to employ in service to Him, as well as to encourage and build up other people. 1 Corinthians 12, 5 through 7 says, there are different kinds of working, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them and all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. That means that what the gift that you have will be different from the gift I have, but God has given each of us gifts. I don't know who said this, but someone said it, and it's absolutely true. He said this: everyone is a 10 at something. Everyone is a 10 at something. The mistake we make is we look at other people, we maybe have some fantasy or some desire to do what someone else does, and we see them do it, and we say, oh man, they're so successful, and that guy's a 10. That woman's a 10. Man, I'm, a 3.5. Well, maybe you are at what they're doing. But God has gifted you, God has made you a 10 at something else that they might be a 3.5 at. You see, and if we're to move forward, hear me now, this is a cohesive theme today. I want you to keep our theme in mind. We're talking about moving forward. We're talking about getting unstuck. What we need to do is discover our gifts. We don't determine them, we discover them. What has God made me a 10 at? What has God gifted me to do? What has God placed me on this earth to do? I want to discover that. If you haven't discovered your primary gift, there can be more than one, but if you haven't discovered your primary gift, you need to go on a journey and discover that, and we can help you do that. And discover what I'm a 10 at. And man, when you find what you're a 10 at, you pursue that. You go 110% into that. And you develop it. Say, well, it's a spiritual gift. Why should I have to develop it? Because as I said before, we're partners with God. God often gives us gifts in seed form. And what I mean by that is, we're pretty much always rough around the edges. You see somebody who's used of God and their experience at what they do, they've developed it, and you think, oh man, that person's a natural. They might not be, they're gifted, but their full-blown ability might not have been natural at the beginning. They might have had to develop it, learn about it. You see, when this goes hand in hand with our passions, when we're passionate about something, we find out what God has made us a 10 at. We pursue that. We become passionate about it, and we develop it, and we use it to the fullest extent of our ability. Develop your gift. Your gift is teaching, as I said. Learn, be the best teacher. Soak up all the knowledge you can. If your gift is evangelism, man, Just gobble up everything the Scripture says about sharing the gospel, and then get around people and just do it, immerse yourself in it. If your gift is encouraging people, man, you look for hurting people and you encourage them, and you'll learn how to hear their heart and how to encourage them. Develop your gift. Find people. Find someone else who's a 10 at what you're a 10 at and is used of God and experienced in it, and get with them. Pick their brain. Get with them. Get around them. And you'll find that you'll develop that gift. You'll be able to use it more perfectly for God. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that great? What are you a 10 at? What are you a 10 at? Find out. Find out. And then pursue it with your whole heart for the rest of your life. Develop your gift. Number four, to move forward, fulfill your responsibilities. Oh, it just got quiet. Hallelujah. Verse 15, be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Be diligent. In the New American Standard Bible, it's translated, take pains. In another translation, give your complete attention to. Fulfill your responsibilities. This includes two things. Number one, it includes strategy. Henry Ford said, thinking is the hardest work there is, which is the reason why so few actually do it. Old Henry knew a little bit, didn't he? Think about it. Well, Pastor Tim, if I have a gift that should just come out, I don't need to think about it. Wrong. Wrong. As someone said, open a window, let all the wrong out. It's wrong. It may be a gift, but you need to think, you need to strategize. See, again, partnership with God. God gave each of us something called gray matter, otherwise known as a brain. Right? The Tin Man, if I only had a brain. Guess what? You do. God expects us to use it. God gave us the capacity to think. God gave us the capacity to strategize. You see, sometimes we make the mistake of thinking that our mental acuity, our mental ability is all there is. Well, no, we need the power of God. If just left to ourselves, we'd be lost without the power of God and the guidance and the wisdom of God. But that doesn't mean He doesn't want us to think at all. Mm-hmm. Strategize. Amen. How can I be more effective? How can I do more what God wants me to do? How can I move forward with my life? And then the second thing it includes is commitment. Strategy and then commitment. You've got to do the work. You've got to be diligent. You see, Paul preached extensively that we're saved by grace through faith and not by works. Probably the greatest gift to the body of Christ is to understand, which we don't fully ever understand, the doctrine of grace, that we're not saved by our works. We can't earn our way into heaven. How many know that's true? The glorious truth. We can never, ever forget. But some have perverted the gospel of grace to say that since we're not saved by our works, we don't have to work. Doesn't matter what we do. Nothing could be further from the truth. We are co-laborers. We are partners with God. And we are to work at what we do. Fulfill your responsibilities. One of the greatest challenges, and I say this in love as your pastor, one of the greatest challenges that we have as a, and not just us, any church, any ministry, is some, so the vast majority of people who are slotted into ministry and have a responsibility, man, they're there, they're passionate, they're prepared, they're on time, and they're there. But man, one of the challenges we have is sometimes when people just don't show up. They just don't show up. Or they come and they're not prepared. Or they come 20 minutes late. And guess what? If a teacher decides not to show up, or someone in the nursery, or someone in a greeter, or somebody, guess what? We're not going to put an announcement up, you know, such and such a class is canceled. We've been tempted, though, I will say, to do that. No, someone else is going to have to scramble and cover because someone didn't fulfill their responsibility. You know how it is at work. If you're counted on as part of a team or counted as part of your responsibilities to get something done, you better get it done. Pretty soon you'll be an ex-employee, right? But somehow, sometimes we think in the house of God, well, you know, I was up a little late last night and can't make it. Boy, talk about fulfilling your responsibilities. Guess what? Whether it's in business or whether it's in the things of God, we will never move forward. We will be stuck if we're not diligent about our responsibilities. If we're not diligent about what we are charged or assigned to or agreed to do, if we have that quality, we will never move forward. We will be stuck. I know sometimes we don't feel like it. Sometimes we sign up for something. We sign up for a ministry, and then, you know, it's Saturday night, and, oh, why did I sign up to teach tomorrow? But guess what? There is something dynamic and powerful that happens when you say, I don't care if I got 3 hours sleep last night, I'm going to fulfill my responsibility. I'm going to be counted on. I'm not going to be the weak link in the chain.
That's true.
That is powerful. That is character building. Number one, it serves the body of Christ. Number two, it's character building in you. And it will strengthen in you the qualities you need to move forward and not to be stuck. I know emergencies come, I know things happen. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about on a regular basis being diligent, fulfilling our responsibilities. And it's not just in church, it's wherever your responsibilities are in life, as a husband, as a wife, as a son or daughter, as a worker at work, wherever it is. Be a person that says, hey, whatever I'm committed to, whatever I'm responsible for, yeah, maybe it's not fair. Maybe I'm doing more than my share of the load. Maybe, I don't always feel like it, but I'm going to fulfill my responsibilities. And when you and I build up a pattern of fulfilling our responsibilities, that helps move us forward and gets us unstuck. Amen?
Amen.
You still with me?
Yes.
Number five, fifth step to move forward is live your beliefs. Live your beliefs. Verse 16, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. It's talking about discipline. What a powerful testimony it is when the body of Christ, when the people of the body of Christ live what they believe. We say, Pastor Tim, I'm not a theologian, and there are things in the Bible I don't understand. And that makes it tough for me. Can I tell you something? The biggest problem isn't what we don't understand in the Bible. The biggest problem is what we do understand. Come on. What we do understand and don't live up to. Now, I know none of us are perfect, and that certainly includes your pastor, but guess what? That's no excuse. I am responsible for what I know. I am responsible for what I understand of the Word of God. I am responsible for what God has imparted to me and what God has taught me and what I am aware of. And so are you. And so we need to live up to what we believe. What a novel concept. Living up to what we believe. Why is this important? Paul says, if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Because if we don't live, to the extent we don't live what we believe, there's a word for that. Anybody know what it is? It's called a hypocrite. Don't shoot the messenger. Okay? We've all been guilty at times of being hypocritical. So he said, you save yourself, you align yourself with your beliefs. And he says, you save your hearers. What does that mean? What that means is this. To the extent I don't live what I believe, I am shortchanging someone else who could be influenced by my life. You see? If they see me living in such a way that doesn't even conform, forget what they believe, it doesn't even conform to what I believe, to what I understand of the Word of God, if they see that hypocrisy in my life, guess what? They're going to be shortchanged. And can I tell you something that you already know, but I'm going to tell you anyway? People are watching you. The world is watching you. And it's watching me. Just because they don't say something doesn't mean they don't see something. And they know if we live up to our beliefs or not. They know. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
It makes a difference. And it's incumbent upon each of us on a regular basis. Did you hear that? I said on a regular basis, it's coming upon each of us to ask ourselves, am I living what I believe? As I said, forget what I don't know about the Bible. Forget what I don't understand. What I do understand, am I living up to that? Am I doing my best? Yeah, sure, we all fall. We all slip. We all make mistakes. But am I doing my best to live what I believe? Amy Grant had a song a number of years ago, I Have Decided. I'm going to live like a believer. I'm going to live up to what I believe. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 4 and 5, how can you say to another believer, let me take the piece of sawdust out of your eye when you have a beam in your own eye? You hypocrite, first remove the beam from your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the piece of sawdust from another believer's eye. God doesn't want us to remain stuck, church. We've all been there. Maybe you're stuck now. Maybe you're wondering, how can I move forward in life? How can I move forward for God? Hurdle your obstacles. Don't say I could be successful, but this. Say, by the grace of God and by doing my best, I'm going to hurdle that obstacle. It's not going to stop me. Pursue your calling. Find your passion. Find your passion. And pursue it. Devote yourself to it. Develop your gifts. Enter into partnership with God. You discover what you're a 10 at. You develop that. You pursue that. You absorb that. You get around people who do that. Develop your gifts. Fulfill your responsibilities. Let people count on you. Let the Lord count on you. Whether it's convenient, whether you wish you weren't responsible or not, say, hey, I have a responsibility. I gave my word. I made a commitment. I'm going to fulfill my responsibility. And number five, live your belief. Live what you believe. Live what you believe. Let everyone who looks at your life be able to say, hey, I can tell what he or she believes because that's how they live. I believe if we follow these principles, we're going to get unstuck. We're going to move forward. Do we believe that, church?
Yes.